A reading from Luke, chapter 1. Then John's father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke this prophecy. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Thus he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and has remembered his holy covenant with the oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the ways of peace. A reading from Luke chapter 3. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God."
Please, would you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be like water and sunlight for the truth that you have planted in our souls. Amen. This is two vignettes from the Gospel of Luke that Carrie read for us this morning. These two span many years, as you could hear. The one is the moment that Zechariah is able to speak again, having been struck dumb for the entire time of the pregnancy. The entire time of Elizabeth's pregnancy, Zechariah is not able to speak. And when he is again filled with the Holy Spirit, he speaks this prophecy, a beautiful song that Carrie read to us. And then fast forward 30 odd years, we see a part of this prophecy come to fruition as John the Baptist hears the message and the word of God and is faithful to it and goes out preaching a baptism of repentance and preaching the coming of the Messiah, the coming of the Prince of peace. We all know what waiting is like. We've all had to wait for something in our lives. That old adage, "Are we there yet?" kind of sums waiting up. It's frustrating to wait. And yet, as I've been thinking about this sermon, I've realized that there is a distinction. And when we think theologically about longing, we're talking about a particular kind of waiting. Longing speaks to the ache of the heart. John Steinbeck said, "What hidden, hoarded longings there are in all of us." And that's what we do, right? Longing speaks to the ache of the soul, and it's often hidden, and we often hoard it. The Israelites had waited for years upon years upon years that became thousands of years for the prophet Isaiah's words to be fulfilled. That waiting had turned to deep longing, a deep ache, a desire, no, a need for peace. And friends, we still need peace. We still need peace in our hearts, in our minds, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our city, in our country, in our world. We still long for peace. You know how when you wait for presents, and you vicariously live through, if you have the opportunity to spend Christmas Day with young children, you live vicariously through the joy they take in opening those gifts and presents, right? And they have that longing. We do all sorts of things that create that sense of longing. We didn't get into that with the kids, but in a sense, what we're doing here by lighting the one candle while we can see all the other candles waiting is we're reminding ourselves of that longing. We're taking those weeks of Advent and we're sort of playing them out one after the other to remind ourselves of that time that we wait. Did you have an Advent calendar when you were a child, or do you have one with children or grandchildren where you open the door each day? Maybe you get a chocolate. Those are the best. If you get a little chocolate inside the Advent calendar, it's meant to teach the waiting and the longing and show it in a real way with just a little snippet of goodness, the little piece of goodness that comes to us each and every day. Maybe you light candles at home, Advent candles, to remind yourselves of the season. And maybe you have Elf on the Shelf, or maybe you go for photos with Santa or breakfast with Santa yesterday. That's the announcement I forgot. We had a fantastic breakfast with Santa. 79 children this year came, 115 adults. And those of you who volunteered, I can't believe you're here this morning. We ran. The elves worked yesterday. It was a good morning. And those children got to have a photo with Santa, a free one, which is hard to come by these days. And they got it printed out in a card that they could take home. And while they sat on Santa's lap, they got to whisper to Santa what their hopes and dreams are for this Christmas season. We write letters to Santa. And then parents try and check them afterwards and see whether they can afford all of these wants and wishes and needs, right? We have ways that we wait and long. And we know that on the 25th of December, we will do our utmost to make sure that those young people in our life have something to make the day special and know how very special they are. We know that on the 25th of December, we'll get something good. We remind ourselves of the goodness of Jesus Christ come. We celebrate that each and every year. But it's not a great way for us to see the difference between waiting and longing. Because we know the 25th is going to come. We know that Christmas Day will come, and we want to reward the coming of that day with a celebration of the coming of Christ into our midst. Think rather, if you would with me, think about driving to a place you've never driven to before. You know how when you're driving there, even if your GPS is on and it tells you what time you're going to arrive, driving there always seems so much longer than driving back home. That's longing. Because we don't know when the end is coming. Our minds are not objective. Our human experience is so very subjective. And so as we wait, if we do not know what end is in sight or when it will come, the waiting becomes so much longer. That's longing. When it becomes an unknown, a heartache. When our hearts long and our souls long for something. Maybe you've experienced longing in your life. Maybe you have, as John Steinbeck said, hidden, hoarded longings in your heart and your soul. That was true for Zechariah, for Elizabeth, for those people all those thousands of years ago, and it is true for us. It is true for each and every one of us. Mahatma Gandhi said that prayer is not asking. It is the longing of the soul. Friends, Zechariah was struck dumb because of his doubt. Zechariah was struck dumb. He could not speak for Elizabeth's entire pregnancy, and yet still into the midst of the doubt and disbelief in his heart, into the midst of that, John was born, heralding the coming of the Messiah. And in that moment, when Zechariah recognized his son and named him John, he was able to speak, and filled with the Holy Spirit, he prophesied what John would become. He prophesied the coming of Jesus, and that John would herald and usher in. And he didn't promise that on the 25th of December, or whichever date it was that Jesus was born, we would miraculously receive peace. No. He didn't prophesy that. He prophesied, and the entire of Luke's gospel plays this out. He prophesied the coming of the one who would guide our feet in the way of peace. Who would guide our feet in the way of peace. This is why we lift up our longing each year. This is why we celebrate Christmas and the coming of Christ over and over again. To remind ourselves that we walk a path along with Christ. We walk a path through the holy season that our feet might be guided and that our lives may learn the ways of peace. Ruben Alves wrote these words, "Hope is hearing the melody of the future." Hope is hearing the melody of the future. Faith is dancing to it today. Friends, may our dance be a dance of peace. May we hear on the Advent and Christmas winds the melody of hope, of love, of joy, of peace. And may we have the faith to dance that dance today. Today. Friends, this season, may our feet be guided in the ways of peace as we look toward Christmas. Amen.